Acts chapter 20. And I shall read verses 25 through 32. Acts 20, beginning then at 25 through verse 32, we have God's word as follows. And now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. But wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now therefore, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. May he bless this portion to our hearing this evening and to our spiritual nourishment. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and more particularly to Brother Zartman here, for I'm here to give a charge to the man who you have called to be your pastor. Western Classes, of course, has assigned me and Reverend Grugget the task on this occasion of Mr. Zartman's ordination and installation as pastor of the Ebenezer Reformed Church. This certainly is a blessed as well as a joyous occasion, and I'm honored. I'm truly honored to be part of it, as are those who have come out here this evening to witness and join in worship. So now, I address you in particular, Brother Zartman, whom I am to charge. Now, what does that mean? To charge someone. We're not talking about money here, okay? Perhaps the most familiar example of a charge is that of 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Apostle Paul's charge to his young protege, Timothy. It begins with these words. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, what exactly was Paul doing here? The meaning of this English word charge, as well as the Greek word dia marturomai, which it translates, is to warn, to adjure, to testify, and to do so with earnestness and urgency. In other words, I sincerely, solemnly, urgently tell you to do this. To do what? Well, reading on here in 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verses 2 through 5, and I think it's familiar to you, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, thereby fulfill your ministry. Now to the scriptures which we read moments ago, Acts 20, 25 to 32. You know, this 20th chapter of Acts is usually referred to as Paul's farewell address or speech to the elders of Ephesus. And many a time it has been used as a text for a farewell sermon for a pastor that is about to leave one congregation for another. However, there are also some very pointed applications in this passage to a minister that is being installed to his first pastorate. And to begin with, you can hear and see that same note of urgency here as we did in that charge that Paul gave to Timothy. Therefore, let me repeat, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Acts 20, 28 to 31. Now, I want to emphasize in the charge to you, Brother Zartman, this evening, what I want to emphasize is Paul's example to us as ministers of the gospel and the job description that he gives of this ministry. And the spirit, the character, or if you will, the heart with which you are to do your job and your work is that of a shepherd. A shepherd or pastor, which of course is the English equivalent. Pastor means to shepherd. The Lord's church, his people, is a flock that faces savage wolves who would tear the sheep and devour the lambs with those bloody fangs of false doctrine and worldly lifestyles constantly assail the church. And shepherding demands a genuine concern and love like that of Paul, who we read did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. It requires a shepherd's heart, one that is quite different from the reluctant and uncaring spirit of a hired man, of whom we read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, read the following. Jesus, of course, is speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hired man, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Words from John 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, 11 through 13. So this shepherding character is clearly seen. And this shepherding character is put even more forcefully by Peter. Listen to his words, 1 Peter 5, beginning at verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive that crown of glory that fades not away. 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4. So you see, shepherding, pastoring, involves care, demanding both strength, fortitude, tenderness that arises out of a passionate love for the well-being of the flock. Good shepherding will involve the shepherd's skill both with the rod. It's often used in discipline, but also the staff to guide, to protect. The ability to discern, and the courage to face the predators of the flock and to challenge and to rebuke and to call the erring, the wandering, to repentance. The Apostle Paul gives more good counsel to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26, these words. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And so you see, good shepherding is foremost the work of the heart. And it depends greatly upon that intimate bond between the flock and the shepherd as they hear and follow his voice. My sheep, says Jesus, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10, 27. And so I encourage you, read Acts 20, verses 28 through 31, and 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4. Read it often. In fact, memorize it so that you are reminded constantly of your job description. And then ask yourself whether you genuinely love the people in your flock. Yes, warts and all, the lovable and unlovable alike. Be honest and admit to yourself. Admit if you view them more as sometimes porcupines and foxes than as precious sheep and lambs. If you can't always state that you do, then I counsel you to pray that God will give you the strength to do that. That God will forgive your sin and grant you the grace to enable that kind of commitment and that kind of love. Pray pray for a shepherd's heart. We need that constantly. Well, to conclude, I return briefly to Acts 20 because it reminds me of my farewell sermon to this very congregation. The words, "And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." That is up here. "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Preaching, declaring, telling all the counsel of God and doing it thoroughly and with urgency. Now, that counsel we know means nothing less than the very revelation of God himself, of his divine purpose, of his will, the heart of which, of course, is revealed in that well-known words of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But not only the heart, but all that attends it. The whole counsel. The whole counsel must be preached and declared and applied. And that becomes abundantly clear from more of Paul's second letter to Timothy when he writes these words in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, familiar words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, that was Paul's purpose and desire during his ministry at Ephesus. And before he left, he wanted the Ephesians to know beyond all doubt that he had done not only his best, but his duty among them. So, Brother Zartman, I charge you to shun not to declare the whole counsel of God. Be ready always to say with the Apostle Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes." Amen.